ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, October 15th, 2018. I'm Kevin Larame. Dwayne Mullins is on assignment today. Welcome to the show. Hope you liked the weekend. The international break is not quite over yet. Still a few days to go. And a couple of big games coming for both Canada and the United States. Canada, especially on the women's side, versus the United States in the final of the CONCACAF Women's Championship. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. Wednesday night as well. Tuesday, October 16th. So tomorrow, Canada at home at BMO Field versus Dominica for their second Nations League game. But we're going to start the show today with the news that came about 3 days ago. The crew, the Columbus crew, might in fact stay in Columbus. And that's a good news. Hashtag saved the crew. Good job to everyone behind that movement. Here is the statement of Major League Soccer on Columbus and the crew. Major League Soccer and the Columbus Partnership have been working together for several months on a plan to keep the crew in Columbus, and we have made significant progress. Recently, the Haslam family, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, along with the Columbus-based Edwards family, have joined the effort to keep crew in Columbus. MLS, the Columbus Crew Partnership, and the investor group all agree that for the club to be successful in Columbus, it requires strong local partners, long-term corporate support, a strong season ticket base, and long-term plans for a stadium, practice facilities, and associated sites. MLS is committed to keeping crew in Columbus, and should we continue to make progress on these critical components and agree to key terms with the investor group. MLS recognizes the cooperation Precourt Sports Ventures has demonstrated throughout the process to date. MLS also remains very committed to PSV's plan to launch an MLS club in Austin and is excited for Austin to become a great addition to MLS. We will continue to work with Precourt Sports Ventures and the city of Austin on the timing around the launch of Austin FC. This is the statement of MLS again on Austin. Major League Soccer is excited to move forward in Austin with Precourt Sports Ventures and their vision for Austin FC. Regardless of any scenario in Columbus, there is a clear path forward to PSV to operate Austin FC as a Major League Soccer club. The strong support from Austin's corporate community, government officials, and passionate soccer fans is impressive. Austin is a flourishing, dynamic city that presents a great opportunity for Major League Soccer, and we look forward to finalizing plans to become the first Major League team in the capital of Texas. Now, it's not done yet, it's not official, but it's looking good for Columbus. If the support is there, which the ground support we all know is there with the Save the Crew movement, it is a movement. Now you have the Haslam family, which has a lot of money. They own, obviously, the Cleveland Browns in the National Football League, the other type of football. And the Edwards-based family, too. Together, they can probably bring to life the vision of the future of the Columbus Crew, which does include a new stadium, practice facilities, a training facility, and other sites as well. So that is very positive. Hopefully the Crew does stay in Columbus, and that is a very good news. One of the original teams in Major League Soccer, the Columbus Crew, one of the teams that epitomizes for me Major League Soccer, what it was before, what it is becoming. Yes, it's stuck maybe in what we call MLS 2.0. We're now in 3.0, and maybe even stuck in 1.0. Who knows? It needs to update itself. It needs to bring the facilities up to standards, stadium, especially training facilities and surrounding sites. But if this is all achieved, and MLS would not have written a statement if it wasn't actually really close, Rarely, well, outside of the Miami aspect, rarely does Major League Soccer comment on procedures like this in the process. Usually it's after they are completed. So it's very positive for all our friends in Columbus. All very positive for all the Crew fans everywhere. And Austin FC might still become true. It might be a little further down the line, and it might be an expansion team. You can bet a little old toonie or $2 if you're in the States. You don't have $2, but just take $2, $1. And you can bet money that the Crew might come in at the same time. Austin FC. It's two different entities now. It's going to be two different teams. Austin FC might come into the league at the same time as Miami, in my mind. We'll have an even number of teams. You bring two more teams, and that number stays even. You reshuffle the East and the West to make sure they're equal, and you have yourself some sort of balanced calendar. Yes, it's not technically a balanced calendar because every team doesn't play each other twice. That's a utopian world that we live in, which maybe one day will be possible, but we'll see. Still, it could be a great news for the Columbus Crew, and congratulations to everyone that took part in the Save the Crew movement, the ones that were wearing the shirts, being loud on social media, but especially being loud to their government officials in Columbus and towards Major League Soccer. You guys made your voices heard, and people are acting on it, and they're ready to maybe save the Crew. So, good job to everyone included in this conversation. The Crew of Columbus might be saved, and that is a very positive news that we heard last Friday afternoon. Speaking of positive news, if you're watching the video aspect, you see I'm wearing my Canada shirt. Canada 7, Panama 0, one of the two semifinals of the CONCACAF Women's Championship. Canada destroyed Panama. And it's funny, too. It was a truly a game of two halves for Canada. And you're going to say, Kevin, soccer is always a game of two halves. There's a first half, there's a second half. I know. What I mean is, it was 0-0 after the first half. And then, Christine St. Clair happened. Canada decided to open the floodgates. And it finished 7-0 for Canada. Here is the box score for this game. Christine St. Clair at the 40, well, actually one goal late in the first half, to be precise. Christine St. Clair at the 44th minute with her 175th goal, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, she was 9 back before this game of Abby Wambach's international goal-scoring tally record. She scored 2 in this game. She's only 7 goals back now. Christine St. Clair scored at the 44th minute and at the 49th minute. Jessie Fleming at the 47th minute scored a nice goal too. Janine Becky with a double. Janine Becky was left off the squad in 2015, and she wants to make sure this does not happen again. Janine Becky scored at the 58th minute and at the 78th minute. Rebecca Quinn at the 63rd minute, and Adriana Leon, 76th minute. Her leading 6th goal in those CONCACAF Women's Championship, Adriana Leon right now, the golden boot of the CONCACAF Women's Championship. With this victory, Canada booked their tickets to France. Canada is going to play in the Women's World Cup France 2019. Their best result is a 4th place in 2003. Can they do better? That is the question. Can Canada get out of the group stage and get Canada get past the round of 16, get to the quarters, and maybe get to the semi? A final, I don't know. You never know what can happen. And according to FIFA 19, which the journey, if you play a journey, you know it's not a simulation, and it's not that probable that it can happen. But according to them, it's going to be Canada, United States in the final. But there's no Kim Hunter, there's no Tremblay in real life, so we'll see. If you played FIFA 19, The Journey, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And playing against Canada Wednesday in the final of the CONCACAF Women's Championship is the United States of America, United States 6, Jamaica 0. a one-sided game off the top of that game. It took 2 minutes for Tobin Heath to open the scoring against Jamaica. Megan Rapinoe scored a goal at the 15th minute, and then Julie Ertz at the 21st minute. Tobin Heath, her second at the 29th minute, and then Alex Morgan at the 33rd minute. So 33 minutes in, and it's 5-0 United States. Alex Morgan scored her second goal of the game at the 84th minute on a penalty for the total tally of 6-0. Shots, 26 shots, 17 on target versus 3 shots for Jamaica, 0 on target. The possession was 78% for the United States, 22% for Jamaica. I don't know who said that the region was catching up, but they're not. Canada, the United States still, and by far, the two best teams in CONCACAF. And they're going to face each other in the final of the CONCACAF Women's Championship. Does Canada have a chance? That's the question. That is the big question right now. Can Canada pull the upset and beat the United States? It's been a long, 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 long time since that happened. Is Wednesday the day? It'll be difficult. It'll be a closer battle than I think people anticipate. The United States, with this win, qualifying for the CONCACAF Women's Championship Final, does qualify for France 2019 as well. The defending world champion will be in France next year, next summer, to defend their crown. And hopefully, they'll play Canada in the final. That would be my best case scenario. And for Canada, they want to better their seeding. They're ranked 5th in the world right now, and Canada wants to make sure that they are a top-seeded team into the World Cup, getting the right group and getting the right bracket so that they can play the U.S. only in the final. That's the best case scenario for Canada. If it can happen, yes, France is going to be good. England's going to be good. Sweden and Australia are going to be really good next summer as well. So it's not just the States. But if you just want to look at it this way for now, if Canada beats the United States on Wednesday, they'll probably end up being 4th or 3rd in the world after such a big win. If that happens, you get a better seeding, you get a better group, and you augment your chances of making it deeper in this tournament, or at least making it out of the group stage maybe unscathed. And that's what you want if you're Canada. For the United States, they've achieved their goal of qualifying for the World Cup. Beating Canada is always something they look forward to. Those two teams have a great rivalry. And it stems from not just this generation, it stems from many generations. And it starts from this generation playing against each other at the lower level, at the youth level, growing up, when you have a young national team programs playing each other, those players play against each other or with each other in the NWSL, in Europe as well. So a lot of familiarity between those two teams, and it's going to be a great match on Wednesday night. 8 p.m. Eastern, United States versus Canada in Frisco, Texas, for all the marbles. At least the CONCACAF ones. So that was very fascinating. It was two great games, a lot of goals. Jamaica, Panama, you know. Some people say, oh, it's too bad. The scoreline was way too big. And it's a shame that the region's not catching up. Yes, there's something to that. It's too bad the region is not catching up. I agree. But there's something to say about how good Canada and United States are. It's not just about the region not catching up. It's about those two programs not letting the region catch up and continue to evolve. We've seen a youth side on both teams. Look who scored in the United States game. Look who scored in the Canada game. Of course, you have the veterans, the Megan Rapinoe, and Alex Morgan is a veteran at this point too. Christine St. Clair, obviously. So you do have the veteran presence, but you have the young crop of players coming in as well and being effective and being all that they can be at the national team level. It'll be interesting to see if Adriana Leon can continue on her goal-scoring ways and get the golden boot of these CONCACAF Women's Championship. That is the goal for her. It's not a goal that you set for yourself at the beginning of a tournament, but once you get on a roll, once you start putting that ball behind the net, then it becomes, okay, well, this might be possible. Well, let me continue to work on it. So we'll see. Christine St. Clair, like I was mentioning earlier, now 7 goals away from Abby Wambach's goal tally, the national goal tally record. 7? She might do it in France. Score a few goals here and there in friendlies upcoming to the World Cup. Couple goals in the group stage. And Christine St. Clair will beat Abby Wambach's record probably during 2019, probably during the summer, and probably during an important game for Canada. And that as well is something very positive. So now moving on to just Canada and Dominica tomorrow night. Nations League, the men's at BMO Field, will face Dominica. There's a lot of hype behind the squad of Canada. We've talked about this over the last few weeks. The roster, Ballou, talking about Davies, talking about Junior Hollette, obviously. The young offensive threat of this team should be something to watch. And I guess that Dominica's got some of them coming. It's not going to be a pretty game. Hopefully it's not. Canada does need to score a lot of goals. It's to maintain their good standing in the Nations League and to make sure they qualify in Group A for next year. Not only do they have to win all the games up, their 4 games, they have to win all the 4 games, and then they'll be obviously through to Group A the way the matchups play. But it's about the differential too. You want to be top of the qualifying process. You want to be considered a top team in this region. And for this to happen, because of scores that have already happened, Canada will need to score about 8 to 9 goals, if not more, against Dominica. So prepare for an offensive festival at BMO Field tomorrow night. A couple days that will be fun to watch. And by the way, CONCACAFGO.com, the new platform where you can watch Canada, you'll find the CONCACAF Women's Championship there on Wednesday, and same for the Nations League game tomorrow evening. Good couple of good days of soccer coming in front of us. Before we continue the show and talk about the scores in Major League Soccer, because yes, it's the international break, but there's a few scores, a few games that happened this weekend, and one in particular that actually does have some ramification in the Eastern Conference standing. So let's take a look at those scores right now. No, I'm not talking about Minnesota and Colorado, a game where both teams got a red card and Colorado got the win in Minnesota, 2-0 for Colorado. New England, Orlando, it wasn't the game I was talking about, but still, New England 2, Orlando 0. FC Dallas, you had one job. You had one job, and that was to beat DC United at home. And 84 minutes in, you made your job. It was 0-0, and everyone would have been happy with the 0-0 result. But Russell Knauss, on a weird play, headed the ball into the empty net, and it's 1-0 DC, and that's how it finishes. And with this win, DC United takes over the 6th spot in the Eastern Conference, 1 point in front of Montreal with 3 games left to play. Is it the end for the Montreal Impact? They have to pray, hope, encourage real hard TFC, and DC United play on Wednesday. And that game is the last game that they have in hand, DC United versus Montreal. And it's an important one. Hopefully TFC can go to Audi Field and pull a result. I doubt it. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. And at this point, the percentage of chances to make the playoff for Montreal are diminishing every day. But they're 1 point behind DC United in sixth spot right now. Montreal seventh. DC United need a win there. But if they don't, example, if they lose, then there's two games left from both teams. Montreal faces Toronto on October 21st at home. Toronto would have had a busy week because they play Wednesday midweek. And they turn around both games on the road. And then they go to Montreal to play a rivalry game on Sunday. So Montreal might get a good chance of a win against TFC on Sunday. Hopefully TFC thinks they can beat DC United. Because that's what Montreal needs right now. It's not just about what Montreal does. Montreal needs to win out. They need to beat Toronto on Sunday. And then on the following Sunday, they need to beat New England. That needs to happen. That's for sure. If Montreal wants to make the playoffs, they need those 6 points. Which they have 43 now, they would give them 49. DC have 44 points. So the only way Montreal can beat DC is if DC loses one of their three games remaining. DC needs to lose against TFC. Put the pressure on them. If Toronto FC beats DC United, then DC United has 32 games played and 44 points. Montreal needs to win next weekend, and then Montreal takes over the sixth spot again. It's going to be hard. I may be hopeful. It's not 50-50. It's 80-20 in my mind. 80% of the chances for making the playoff for DC, 20 for Montreal. And no, if Montreal does not make the playoffs, it's not because of those losses. The 5-0 loss against DC at OD Field. It's because of the points in the beginning of the season that they dropped. Well, let's be fair here. A point here and there when they were winning a game and losing in the second half, or a draw, it was 1-1 or 2-2 late in the game and they conceded. Those are the points that you would want right now. You have 2-3 more points at this point, and you're talking about having a better chance of making the playoffs. So Montreal will rue their chances of earlier this season, yes, but it's not about the past, it's about the future. Can DC lose? That's what it's all standing on. Speaking of Montreal, a few days ago, Joey Saputo sat down with about 15 journalists from Montreal, and no, I wasn't one of them, but I was able to get a bit of the information that was talked about. He was talking about the financial situation of the Impact, saying he's losing about 11 to 12 million a year. Those numbers have not been corroborated by anyone, by the way. It's just what Joey Saputo says, so I would take them with a grain of salt. Before this conversation, we have heard through the grapevine that, yes, and going to other season, the Impact lose around 5 to 6. So that 11 to 12 is a bit high for me, and I would have to know more about the ins and outs of the financial details of the team. I don't think 11 and 12 is purely what their losses are. I think it's a way to make that number a bit more impressive, and we would have to actually look at the books and see the revenues coming in and what the revenues coming out versus the sum money as well that coming in is not maybe included with the MLS money. So that being said, what he mentioned that was interesting, like, yeah, we have to manage our salaries better, saying they did waste money over the last few years on players that weren't up to par. Aregui, Mancosu, and a lot more. Players that were paid in the six figures and some of them in the very high six figures and not contributing to the team. There has to be accountability there as well. He mentioned a scouting partnership with Bologna FC needs to happen. They need to borrow some of these scouting, I would say, aspect of Bologna FC in North America. Now Bologna FC have about six scouts around the world, and one of them will be focused on North America. So hopefully that scouts can work for both Montreal and Bologna. Another thing that was impressive was Nauen Paz. Remember last offseason, there was a lot of talk about Nauen Paz, and Montreal were negotiating with him, and at the same time, Bologna FC were negotiating with him, both independently, and Joey Saputo, being the owner of both teams, was mentioning that this can't happen anymore. We need to have a better working relationship to not impede each other and to work together for the benefit of both the clubs. He mentioned as well more potential revenue sources needs to have partners. And if you look at the naming rights of Stade Saputo and their training center, Centre Nutrilet, this is just my two cents here, there's a big revenue potential right there. Stade Saputo, Joey Saputo, Saputo Company, which Joey Saputo's family is the owners, and it's their company. It's a big multinational company. And Nutrilet is the dairy division of Saputo, the milk division of Saputo, and the naming rights of the training center. Those two names, if it was up to me, would probably find a way to change those two, to get a corporate sponsor, to get a big naming rights, get some money off of it, and use, I don't know, call it the Stade WestJet, the Stade Air Canada, I don't know, the Stade, whatever company you like, insert here, and the Centre Nutrilet, the same thing. Get corporate sponsors, naming rights. That could be an easy way to make a bit of a few million dollars a year to make sure that those losses are not as big. That being said, he's looking for more partners and maybe co-owners in the Montreal market to help him in the day-to-day operation. And he's been thinking about removing himself as well from the day-to-day operations and truly being more of an owner of this club. So, interesting aspect. You can find all the details of this conversation anywhere you find your Montreal Impact content. You'll find this meeting that he did have with about 15 journalists. So it's an interesting aspect for the Montreal Impact. Not a profitable team. They haven't been profitable since their beginning in Major League Soccer. The marketing has been subpar over the last few years, and it all stems from what Joey Saputo wanted, which is cut the cost down. Marketing-wise, there's no full-time employee who works on Montreal Impact. There's interns. There's people trying to do the job, but there's no full-time employee dedicated to solely marketing or solely into a way to get the conversation going, to have a marketing plans, to have campaigns like we've seen before. That needs to happen again. This needs to be replaced. People that left need to be replaced. And you do need to extend where you do your marketing. The island of Montreal is not enough anymore. You need to go to the South Shore, the North Shore, Northern here, all the way to Joliette, all the way to Quebec City. People will travel to watch a soccer game. Make sure you reach them. Make sure you reach them before another team does. CanPL soon, who knows? Montreal Impact still has the opportunity to get fans outside of the island of Montreal and make those fans members and make those members come back and make the Stade Saputo a better place. And he was talking about, too, that there was a project about $50 million of improvement for the stadium. No, it wasn't to augment the seating capacity. It was to better the options, better the offer of the infrastructure, the amenities of the stadium, from restaurants to bathrooms to plumbing to a lot of things they wanted to improve the Stade Saputo with. And this might still happen in the future, but it has been shelved for now. So all those are all interesting aspects of Joey Saputo's ownership of the Montreal Impact. No, the Montreal, in my mind, are not going to shut down anytime soon. But at least it's a realization that things cannot continue the way they are right now, and they need to find a way to profitability. Is naming rights a good way for that? Is finding new corporate sponsors, making sure that your footprint grows outside of Montreal so that those partnership of corporate sponsors have a bigger reach? Those are all potential good move that the Impact marketing team that needs to be built again can do. So we'll keep an eye on this in the future. Hopefully you like the show today. You can follow me on social media at Kev Laramie. Follow this show at Soccer Today SBN. Dwayne should be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective. And until next time, as always, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.